How you doing today? Sing a little louder. Let's give God a clap offering. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. I've been blessed by your worship team. I'm just getting, they just elevate me. I really enjoy. Don't you love worshiping? Let me tell you. Anyways, I'll just tell you a story, yeah? If you don't think worship does anything, it does. Like, so we did, last year we did a thing called Summer Mission. We decided to do 8 places in 12 days. Don't ever try that. What we did was we did all day clinics. We did school ministries. We were in all the schools, local schools in those areas we went to. We basically went all the way around the north of our island. And then we did kids programs, and then at the end of the night, starting at night, we did a football size field concert. Basically, it's just a worship service, but you know that's what they like concerts, so we do them. And so we went to this place called Singaraja, and in Singaraja, we went 6 of the places we went to had never had an open proclamation of the gospel. And so this place in Singaraja never, ever had anybody ever just openly, I know you guys, and I know you guys, I know you guys. Anyways, hi, it's good to see you. So we had the concert. So the football field was like this. That's soccer, by the way, for those that really know what soccer is. Anyways, no, huh? Okay, never mind. So it was basically surrounded by a college. And so this side had like dorms and some restaurants and stuff. And like I said, never had an open proclamation of the gospel. And all of a sudden, we begin to worship the Lord. And when we began to worship, this whole, like the whole side, all the kids in the dorm started manifesting, you know, like snakes going down the aisles and all kinds of crazy, because there's a lot of spiritual stuff there. And like, so the Balinese Hindu priests go in to try to stop it, and they couldn't stop it. We said, hey, we'll go in, you know, right? So, but they wouldn't let us in, and so the restaurant was getting upset. And so when we stop worshiping, they stop manifesting. We start worshiping, they stop manifesting. Don't tell me the heavens don't open up when you stop worshiping, amen? Don't tell me that when we begin to praise the Lord, something doesn't happen, amen? Oh, you need to praise God in the midst of the storm, amen? Now, you need to get in the storm to praise in the midst of it, amen? So, you know, sometimes you need to get in the middle of darkness and begin to praise the Lord. Yes, some of you will get that. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. So anyways, my name is Don Butera. My wife's name is Carol. She's still in Indonesia. We just had a second grandchild who is only like 7 weeks old. And so she said, can I stay a little longer? And, you know, you versus my grandson, you don't win any time. So, you know, so she's still there. And so we've been in Indonesia now for 10 years. And basically we work amongst 2 different islands. They're gonna cut this off the tape later. So we work in Bali. It's called Bali. For those that might not know where Indonesia is, it's very simple to get to. You get in a plane, you fly east. When you start coming home, you stop. And if you don't get it, go back to geography. And so we work on the island of Bali and the island of Lombok. Okay, Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation in the world. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. And, you know, what happened to me was I actually used to pastor down in Rhode Island. And I made the mistake of having a missionary from Indonesia come. And I love in Rhode Island. We started a few churches down there. It was, you know, rocking and rolling, having a lot of fun, seeing people get saved. And yet I had this missionary come, and basically he just stood up and said, hi, I'm from Indonesia. And when that happened, the Lord wrecked me. And for 3 days, I just laid on the ground, just crying out. I could hear hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of people just crying out for Jesus. See, where we go is we go where there's people that have never heard the name Jesus. It's so much fun. Have you ever met someone that has never heard the name Jesus? It's kind of wild. You know, like, for example, if I got... It's so good to see you. Anyways, man, I got to give you a hug. So anyways, let's say I walked up to you and I said, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to pray in the name of, apakabar. See, like, see, when I say the name Jesus to you, you know, you have all these things that kind of come. Now, in America, if you say Jesus to anyone, you know, some, it may not be the right thing, but, you know, it's going to happen. I've never met anybody in America that has never heard the name Jesus. But the places we go have never heard. So, like, if I say, I want you to pray in the name of Apakabar, you know, nothing, right? Nothing. Actually, that just means, how you doing? But, and since I've been in Indonesia, the one thing I have learned, the one thing I have seen is the power of God is absolutely amazing. It is, his power is so awesome. His power is way more than we could ever imagine. It's, think about how powerful God is, and you can't even get close to how powerful he is. That's how powerful he is. And we just need to get in the middle of a storm and start praising and say, God, it's time to release your power. It's kind of show who you are. I'll get more into that. So basically, we go to these two islands, and the island of Bali is called the Island of the Gods. There's a lot of Hindus, and there's a lot of statues everywhere. There's offerings on the ground. They do it all the time. As you go into places and you smell the incense, and it's a very fear-based culture where they, you know, they give offerings. If you ask a person there, you say, hey, you know, what happens if you don't give an offering? They say, we always do. Yeah, I know, but what happens if you don't? We don't. We do. Because basically what they worry about is if they don't, then what happens is God gets mad. So they're there trying to appease God is what they're trying to do. And so we work in the north. We work both in that island. We started a community of, it's ICC, and we started that community. And I've had the privilege of baptizing over 200 Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. And you know what was really cool is I just got a report, like, because they're 12 hours ahead. So Sunday night, their Sunday night, which is about, I don't know, 5 hours ago, you know, we just baptized a whole family of Buddhists and several other people. I mean, it was just awesome. It's just so much fun. In the last month, we've baptized, 15 or 20 people of all faiths. Don't you want to see someone come up to you in heaven and say, thank you so much for giving me heaven? Don't you want that? How many here have led somebody to Jesus? That ain't enough. That ain't even close to enough. Okay. Let's play a little game. How many churches do you think you can start? We could start in 1,000 years of Christianity. Somebody shout out a number. 1,000 years of Christianity. How many? Not you. How many? A million. A million churches in 1,000 years. A billion. Whoa, that's even bigger. But let's just say 1 million just to make it easy. Okay, 1 million churches, right? Or let's make it even easier. Let's just say 1,000 churches. 1,000 churches in 1,000 years, right? That's a church a year, right? Let's say that, okay? How many people do you think we can lead to Jesus in 1,000 years? Okay, 1 billion, all right? All right. Do me a favor. If you've been following Jesus for more than 10 years, raise your hand. I bet you there's more than 100 people in here that's been following Jesus for more than 10 years. Which means we have 1,000 years of Christianity in here. What are we doing? How you doing? Good to see you. No, think about it. We have 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years of Christianity in this room. What are we doing? All right, I won't yell anymore. No, seriously, what are we doing? You know, last night was really interesting. We had such a wonderful night. And then I got the report that, you know, we're going to baptize all these people. I was all excited. You know, I was thrilled. And we finished the service here. And then my brother David is with me. He works with drug rehab guys. And then he gets a phone call. And he finds out that one of the guys that he's been trying to help just OD'd. And his mother found him in the, or his grandmother found him in the bathroom. There are people dying all over. And eternity's at stake. Seriously, I mean, I don't mean to be dramatic, but it's the truth. It's the truth. What are we doing? What are we doing? In Indonesia, there's like this 250 million people or so, population-wise, and about somewhere around, I think it's somewhere around 30%. The numbers will say higher, but I'm not sure. Have never, ever in all of history heard the name Jesus. There's never been a witness of the gospel. Million churches, billion people. What are we doing? I want to talk about impact today, how to make an impact. I'm going to be challenging you today about making an impact. I mean, I had it made. I was like, you know, I was like part of the district. I was helping the young pastors, and I was starting churches. Our goal in when we were in Rhode Island was to start a church a year. We started three churches in 3 years. It was fun. We had a motto in our church, come to our church, we'll send you out. Sometimes we said, we'll kick you out. But, you know, it was great. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. But, you know, now I mean, what are we doing? We've got to make an impact. We've got to. Now, it's interesting. In Mark chapter 1, I just want to share one little piece of this scripture. If you put it up, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Oh, what is that? That's what it's saying. By the way, we're going to sing that song. Anyways, so the verse, Mark something, Mark 1. You know Mark 1. You guys...
Wake up back there. Let's go. Let's go.
Actually, John the Baptist, you know, it says about John the Baptist that all of Judea was coming out, right? Came out to see him. All of Judea. You would say that John the Baptist had an impact, yeah? Would you say? Good to see you. All of Judea. Now, I want you to notice something about John the Baptist. Do you know where? Nowhere in Scripture. And I don't actually, I think that maybe even it's just true about him. There's no recorded miracles. He didn't do any miracles. And yet, look at the impact he had. We need to make an impact. Again, don't you want someone to come up to you in heaven and say, you know, thank you so much for heaven. Don't you want that? Don't you want someone, you know, just so you know, they're not going to walk up to you and go, hey, thanks for heaven. It's kind of nice here. Really glad I'm here. They're not going to say that. They're going to go, thank you so much. Thank you. They're going to jump all over you. I can't wait to see Dean Adams, the man who led me to Jesus. I can't find him. He led me to Jesus. When I see him in heaven, trust me, he's going to get kisses and hugs. And I'm going to thank you so much that he helped me find eternity. Don't you want someone to say thank you? You know, I used to think, you know, we'd take our crowns. You know, it says in the Bible, we're going to take our crowns and throw them at his feet. You know, and I used to think, I'm going to take all my gifts and talents, everything I did, I'm just going to throw them at his feet. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he also says it in Thessalonians, he says to the Philippians church, he says, Philippians, you are my crown. So I get this picture that Paul comes up and says, God, you see all these people I led to you? They're my crowns. I lay them at your feet. Tell me that doesn't put a smile on God's face. You know, he's not going to walk up to you and he's not going to say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. You built a good business. Thank you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You raised a good family. Well done, good and faithful servant. You built a nice house. So he's not going to say that. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did my will. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's his will. His will is to see all his children come and surround him. And he is calling you and me to be the lights of the world. Can I get an amen? So I want to share with you some simple ingredients. Simple ingredients, and I'll tell some stories about what's happening in Indonesia. Sometimes I just want to talk to you about going out and saving souls. I don't, you know, yeah, I'll tell you in heaven what happened in Indonesia. Just so you know, 6 weeks ago, we got invited to this place, another faith, and we went to this place, and we brought our medical clinic. They wanted to bring our, they said, you know, bring your medical clinic. So our medical clinic is made up of doctors and nurses and volunteers and our prayer team. And so what they do is when they come in and see the doctor, you know, we usually get a prescription. Sometimes it's just vitamins. It's that simple, you know. But then they go over to the prescription people, and we tell the prescription people, make them wait. Just like America, make them wait. And while they're waiting, we pray for them. And so in this place that no one has ever been invited before, they said, how did you get in? I said, I don't know how we got in. We just got invited, so we go. That's really all that happens. Someone invites you, just go. And this blind lady walks in, and we pray for her, and she walks out seeing. Yeah, I don't know who was more amazed, her or us. You know, it was one of those tree effects, too. They prayed, we prayed for her, she could kind of see, and then we prayed again, and she could see. It was easy to talk about Jesus then. So easy to talk about Jesus. We went to another place, and we went in, and because we always do medical clinics, and we went into this place, and there was this Balinese Hindu priest that came in, and so he was sitting there waiting. My friend went over and said, can I pray for you? And he said, no, because in that culture, no one under the high priest can pray for the high priest because he's top dog. So my friend points at me. He says, well, he's a high priest. Okay, yeah, I'll be a high priest. That's fine. And so he was deaf in one ear, and we prayed for him. He got his hearing back. And then he says to us, can you come into our village and help and talk to the young people because they need help? Of course we will. Of course we will. God is so powerful. He's so powerful. So the first thing I want to share with you in simple ingredients on how we should is that you need to give yourself fully to people. Give yourself fully to people, at least one, just one. And I'm going to say it this way, you must exclude your family, meaning you will do it for your family. You've already decided that you'll give yourself to your family, so you can't count them. No counting them. Give yourself fully over. See, we work in an island next door. I'll just say it like that so they don't have to cut it. And where we go, it's 100% Islam. Now, let me explain what you're asking me to do as someone that lives there. Let's imagine that you are in a house, and the house that you are in, your father grew up there, his father, his father, his father, his father, his father, his father. Like, you know, 10, 20 generations grew up in the same home. You're all Christians, and then all your neighbors, same. Their father, and you guys know, everyone knows, and everybody grew up in that neighborhood for generations, and you're all Christians. And all of a sudden, four Muslims walk down the street and start talking to your kids about Allah. How do you think that neighborhood would react? That's exactly what you're asking me to do. So we don't do that. See, when we decided to start working in this place, we said, you know what, God? It's your job to convert. God, it's your job. It's our job to love. It's your job to change. Ours is just to love them, to give our lives to them. And it's your job, Lord God, to do what you do best. You see, most of you guys, most of us think this way. We think God needs, this is going to be kicking me all the time. It's making all kinds of noise. Maybe it's me. So, you know, most of the time we think God needs a salesman. Or God needs a lawyer. Or God needs someone to apologize for him. You know what God needs? An introduction. He just needs an introduction. Whoa, he gets an introduction. Look what you wouldn't believe what he can do when he gets an introduction. So we decided that, you know what? We were just going to love this community. Because see, if you love someone for any other reason but to love them, you don't love them. If you love them to try to convert them, you're a salesperson. That's all you are. You don't love them. That's what a salesperson does. They're nice to you until what? They get the sale. The only way to truly love someone is to love them unconditionally with no strings attached. How many friends do you have that you don't that have yet to know Jesus that you love that way? So we did, like, I don't know, 21 medical clinics there. We did disaster relief programs. We did all kinds of stuff there, teaching English and helping with babies. And, you know, we just did whatever, you know, whatever that we could do to help in farming, you know. And so finally, you know, I raised this kid up. I won't say his name. And so we were doing this one medical clinic one day, we had all the leaders of the village. And see, because to live there, you got to get invited. You don't just move there. You have to get invited in. And so we were there, and the leaders were sitting next to me. I said, I don't know why you're talking to me. He's the leader. And oh, by the way, he loves your village. And I think if you invited him, he would move there. 2 months later, he gets an invitation, official paperwork, to come and live there. First Christian ever to live in this place. First person ever come in the name of Jesus. And then just like last year, a year before, you know, my wife was there because she goes there a lot and does the medical stuff. You know, she's walking along the street and, you know, there's this girl walking next to her and the girl like goes like this, I'm a Christian. I can't tell my family. I can't tell my village. But I love Jesus. Woo! Nothing better. Nothing better. See, our goal in Indonesia is to go to 5 never been reached people group. People have never heard the name of Jesus. Right now we're in 2. I told my wife, you know, I want to go 5. When I go 5, I can die. She says, hurry up, please. I want to get into 5. Because that Bible verse that says every tribe of every nation of every language coming together wearing white robes, I want every tribe there. I want every tribe there. We need to go into these places that have never heard the name Jesus and show them what it's all about. You know, you probably have heard it. You ever heard where, like, and we've had it happen where we are too, where Muslims are having dreams of Jesus, you know? I don't like that. Because I think what's happening is Jesus is so hungry to see people to come to him, and we're not doing our job, so he's doing it for us. Because the rocks are starting to cry out because he has such hunger to see people come to him. Now, we do see great power. I mean, we had this one Muslim couple. The woman was part of, the wife was kind of like a radical, and so he got saved. And they were coming to our gatherings, and she kept saying, you got to come back to the mosque. You got to come back to the mosque. And finally, he got mad at her. And he said to her, he said, you know what? You go to the mosque, and you pray to Allah, and you ask Allah who the real God is. He will tell you. So she did it. For 2 weeks, she dreamed about Jesus after that. And now she's loving Jesus, of course. God is powerful. You just got to give him an opportunity. You just got to introduce him to people. You've got to make an impact, and you've got to give your life fully to someone. That's one of the ingredients. The second ingredient is you need to have the right kind of people surrounding you. Now, the right kind of people, there's 2 groups that you need. There's 2 groups that you need. Right? One is the ones that spur you on to faith and good works. I really enjoy coming with my brother David. Him and I are getting to spend some time together. I don't see him now that I'm over there, and so it's fun just to come together. And we keep spurring each other on. We're Italians. We talk all day. And we just keep talking about, you got to love Jesus, man. You got to, come on, man. We got to do something for him. That's how we talk. And so we're spurring each other. You need that kind of people, right? And you hear that often. Is it me or is this ticking? I know, I'll just do it this way. So, you know, you need people who's going to spur you on, right? But there's a second group of people that you need. You need 2 kinds of groups. The first group is the ones that affect you. The second group is the group that you affect. See, you need to be with people who don't know Jesus, and you need to affect them. Light is supposed to cast out darkness. Can I get an amen? And by the way, if you go into darkness and you change, if darkness affects you, it doesn't say anything about darkness. It says everything about you. Right? So you need to go and you need to affect the light. In my island, they have this holiday called Nyepi. in Yippee, it's like a holy day. What they do is they build these like 15-foot demons, you know, that kind of stuff. Literally, I'm not kidding you. It's, you know, and what they do is they march them through the streets. They do a parade of demons. Woo! Exciting. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to, this is their belief, is to scare all the spirits out of the houses and everything, because it's a very spiritual place. And they scare all the spirits out. And then once they scare everything out, then they go and they hide in their house. They just stay in their house. And nobody goes out of the house. No noise and no lights. And so, like, at night, it's like pitch black. There is no lights in the city. And the reason is what they're trying to do is to try to keep the spirits from finding their way back. I love that day. It's one of my favorite days, especially when it first started happening. You know, because like in the middle of darkness, here we are in a city with like 4 million people, no lights at all, nothing, right? I'm going to hold this in my hand to keep this thing from bugging me. It's all right. I'll hit somebody in the head now. Anyways, so it's pitch black. And I love it because I'm like, okay, now the most darkness that could exist exists right now. All right? Okay, darkness, ready? I take a match and I just go, shh. Come on, darkness. It's just a tiny little match. Put it out. No. Even the littlest light, darkness has no power over it, right? See, we are the light, right? We are the light. And like in where I am, there is a lot of demonic stuff. I mean, don't worry, it's not in America. There's no demonic stuff in America. Don't worry about it. Relax. You know, I was in this place called Nongan, and we had an opening, and so there was like 50 people there, and my friend is in the corner, and he's like just like this, and he's praying, and we started praying for people, and he goes, Jesus Tarun, and that means Jesus fall, and so then all of a sudden you got ladies puking in buckets and eyes rolling in the back of their heads, all that stuff. You know, there's a song that comes in my mind when that happens. A song comes in my mind. Anybody want to know what it is? MC Hammer, can't touch this. Can't touch this, right? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? What are we worried about these things? We have no, you know, we just before I left, we had this guy, they came in my room and they said, hey, pastor, you need to come downstairs. This guy's manifesting and he's on the ground and he's doing like this Balinese dance and he's singing in voices that is not his own. And my friend's over the top going, you know, in the name of Jesus. And he's going, he's mine. You know, seriously, this is my life, you know. I got so scared. You don't get scared of these things. You go after these things, man. They don't belong. They have no right in someone's life. No rights. So what I did was I told the demon to shut up, excuse my language, and you know, and so finally we got the guy conscious, and I said, would you like this demon? Now, just so you know, this took like 2 hours, okay? So I'll just give you the short version. And so I said, would you like this demon out of you? He said, yes. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to invite Jesus in your heart, and you together with Jesus are going to cast this demon out. And I'm just going to pray with you. So after a long time, finally he starts really praying, like really praying. A couple of times, you know, he wasn't really praying, and all of a sudden we had to shut the thing up again and start again. Finally, he's praying, right? And all of a sudden, you could see him like starting to shake, like the demon was coming out of him. And he sticks his chest out. He goes, no, I'm a child of God. You have no right in my life. You get out of here in the name of Jesus. He cast the demon out himself. It was so amazing, and he was transformed. Amen. You know? I looked at him, and I said, you feel the power of God? Now he goes, yeah. Awesome. Now we have to do other work after that. But, you know, it's amazing what God will do. But you need to get in there, and you need to affect people's lives. Who likes to fish? Anybody like fishing? You like fishing? Okay, you and I, fishing contest. Okay? You pick any place you want all day. You know, whoever catches the most fish that day wins. Where do you go? Down the harbor. I win. You know where I go? Fish market. You want to go where there's a lot of fish to catch. If you're hanging around fish that are already caught, you can't catch fish. God has called us to be what? Yeah, not hang around fish that are already caught. I don't know you, but I can spend 1,000 years in heaven getting to know you, and guess what?
I won't even touch eternity. I don't need to spend any time with you now, unless you don't know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Okay, just checking. But you know what I'm saying? We've got to start getting busy. The next thing is to give your life to something greater than yourself. You realize that you cannot display God if you can do it. If you have the ability to do something, then you can't, you're not really displaying God because you can do it. But if you do something that you can't do, then it's God, right? It's that simple. So you need to give yourselves to something greater. You know, when I went to Indonesia, I didn't know anybody. I came to the city, I sat down, I had boxes there, and I'm like, okay, God, here I am. What the heck do I do now? I didn't know what I was doing. We had no idea what we're doing. You know what? Here's what happens in your life. Here's what happens. You're walking along, and I always say this. If something bothers you, if you see an injustice and it's bothering you, I believe it's the Holy Spirit telling you you need to change it. Okay? Stop complaining about it and change it. Okay? So what happens is you're walking through life and you see something, and all of a sudden you get this idea. It kind of pops up in your head. Now, if you're in Boston, you get this idea. But if you, you know, normally it's the idea, you know, you get this idea, it comes up in your head, you know, and what happens is, this is what happens to every one of us. You know, God, I really don't have time to go out of my way. I'm really busy today. Or, God, I don't have enough money. I can't really do that. That's what happens, right? I'm going to preach a message. I haven't yet. I keep saying I'm going to. I'm preach a message on the God who doesn't give enough at first. Why should he give you everything at first? There's no faith in that. He wants you to walk in faith. And so he wants you to do something greater than your ability, greater than what your resources are, greater than your time. He wants you to do something greater than anything you could do. And the only way to do that is to start saying yes to these crazy ideas, these crazy things that you have no idea how you're going to do it. You know, I remember we started like this. Guy said, hey, I got a call. I think we should start an art school. You know, so we started an art school. Now, it wasn't Christian, but everybody who works there is. Nice way to get fish. See, sometimes you just bring the fish to you and life is easy. And, you know, I remember sitting there with my friends and we were like sitting there and we got halfway through and we didn't have any money left. And I said to my group, I said to my leaders, I said, we don't have any more money. And one of the leaders, one of the girls, she's just very spiritual. She goes, that's awesome. That's like awesome. Those are God's magic words. He just loves to hear those words. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. So it was an afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in my house. This is in Indonesia, right? And I get a call on my cell phone, right? And all of a sudden, it's a very unique voice. I'm like, Lou, is this you? Lou lives in New York. I said, Lou, why are you? You call me. It's 2 o'clock in the morning in New York. What are you doing? Call me. And how'd you find my cell phone number? Because it was an Indonesian number. He's like, it doesn't matter. I woke up. God said I had to send you some money. Where do I send it to? That was after the morning meeting. And then you start saying, "Woo! God is in our midst. God is doing what he's done. God gave us an opportunity. We started a conference center. We call it a conference center because we can't call it a church. On top of the parking garage in the middle of our city in a mall. We had no money. Halfway through the project, we had $200 left in the bank account. Oh, no. Building is built now. We still owe a little money on it. But I would say this. It's a huge building. And 98% of the money came in from Indonesians who want to see God do something in the city. Do you know we have sent out our first missionary out of the country? We just sent him out like last week. It was so exciting. So Indonesians sending out Indonesians. That's what's supposed to happen. It's so exciting. See, but you got to get it in your head to do something crazy. You get the idea? Just go for it. My whole motto is do something crazy for Jesus. You know, it's really funny. Have you ever noticed that, like, in John chapter 4, the widow at the well, okay, or the woman at the well, not the widow, woman at the well, right? She's been what? She's been married 5 times, and she's living with somebody, right? So she comes to Jesus, and she really realizes that Jesus is the Messiah, right? And then she says to Jesus, I'm just checking the time because I'll just keep talking until my time is up. She says, hey, I want to go tell all my friends and all the people in the town about Jesus. Now, if you don't know the Greek, you don't know really what it says. If you study the Greek, when she says that to Jesus, Jesus says, no, you can't go. First, you have to go to the class that teaches you how to share me. Then you have to go to the membership class so that you know what you're doing. Then you have to clean up your act before you go. No, of course not. So the first evangelist in the Gospels is a woman who's been married 5 times and living with somebody. We had this lady from China. She came down. She didn't know English. She didn't know English or Indonesian. Long story, she gets saved, right? And she knows nothing about Jesus. She never heard the name Jesus, but she gets saved. And she goes around the city, and she just looks for people who speak in Mandarin. When she finds them, she goes and she invites them to her house, and then she calls me up and she says, Pastor, there's someone here that wants to get baptized. She hasn't even witnessed to them yet. I baptized 50 people in her pool. And then she wants to start a Bible study. I said to her, I can't start a Bible study. I don't have anybody that speaks English and Mandarin. She goes, oh, I know someone. So 8 people show up the house, and she brings her translator. She's Buddhist. So I got a woman translating, a Buddhist woman translating my Bible studies from English to Mandarin to these people. It was so much fun. Stops in the middle. Jesus isn't Lord. Just keep going. About 6 months later, she gets saved. Do something crazy for Jesus. Do something absolutely insane for him, okay? Something beyond yourself, okay? Next one, devote. That means that you're going to have to spend your time and your resources. You're going to have to spend your time and resources. Thank you for supporting me. Give me more money, okay? Next. Okay, pray on all occasions. You want to make an impact, pray on all occasions. And I'm not talking about just praying to yourself, you know, walking around praying. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every time you hear someone tell you that they have a problem, pray for them right then. Don't go, hey, I'll pray for you tonight. No. If you're at work and, you know, you're talking to them and they say, oh, I got a bad knee, you know, you don't have to go, oh, excuse me, Jesus, you don't have to do that. You just, can I pray for you? Sure, Lord, just bless your knee. Lord God, I pray you just, you know, that's all you have to do. See, when you pray, you give God a problem. Not your problem. I love giving God problems. I like giving God problems. God doesn't have a problem with the problems I give. He didn't get all nervous. Oh, no, what am I going to do? And then his name is on the line. And boy, he don't like when his name is on the line and nothing happens. You know, let's say 10% of all the people that you pray for, right, you see instant miracle. Okay, I don't want to talk about the other 9%. We'll deal with that later. But let's say, you know, 10% of every person that you, all the people you pray for, 10%, you see instant healing, right? So if you pray for 10 people, how many people do you see miracles? 1, right? 10%, simple, right? Okay, so if you pray for 100 people, how many miracles? 10. The principle is very simple. The more people you pray for, the more miracles you see. Pray for everyone. Make friends with those who don't know Jesus, because only friends tell friends their problems, and let them tell them their problem, because problems are God's opportunity to reveal himself. And pray on all occasions. Don't wait. Don't wait. Just pray for people. We are building a culture just to pray for every person we can possibly find. Why don't we get the worship team out there? Because I know I'm out of time. And I'll just keep going if they don't get me off the stage. But we just pray for every person we could possibly pray for. You know, we had this young girl. I love this story, so I just want to tell you about this story. We had this. We were at a wedding, and this girl had like, she was on crutches. She was a young girl, like 10 years old. And all the kids were playing, and she was like just sitting there watching them. I felt bad for her, you know. I said, I want to pray for her. So I asked her mom, can I pray for her? Yes. I said, all right. So we walked over, and she, like, looked scared at me. You know, I'm white. She's Indonesian, you know. And I said, don't worry. We're just going to pray for you, you know. And so I prayed for her, and I said, so now move your knee. She goes, oh, scared. I'm like, listen, if you move your knee and it hurts, we just stop. Don't worry. So we pray a little more, and then I said, move your knee. And she moves her knee. She goes, wow, it doesn't hurt. I said, oh, well, maybe you just stand up. Oh, I can't stand up, can't stand up. I just try. If it stands up and it hurts, you just sit right back down. So she stands up, and she's looking at her mom. She goes, it doesn't hurt, Mom. I said, well, why don't we try taking a step? She says, oh, I can't do that. Listen, if you take, and then I stopped. I went, oh, you know what? I said, take a step, and if it doesn't hurt, you say, thank you, God. Just say, thank you, God. And so she, like, takes a step. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And she just starts running and she's screaming, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And she stops in the middle and she turns around and her mom's crying. And she runs back and she just big hugged her mom. You know how easy it is to tell someone about Jesus at this point? But if I was afraid to pray for her, you know? So I want to do something and I'll see if we can pull this off. I want to start at the bridge of that song, Reckless Love, but I want to change the words. So before we sing this song, I'm going to change the words a little bit because this song really impacted me last night, and every time we sing it this morning, it just keeps hitting me. I want you to think of, say, 1 to 5 people that you feel God is calling you to. Maybe it's a people group. Maybe it's missions. And I want you to just think of them. So take a second, close your eyes, and let the Holy Spirit tell you, put people on your mind. No. I'm just going to say a little prayer, and then we're going to sing this in a little different way, and then who knows, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You know, I just feel like I want to tell you this story of something that happened to my child, Rachel. She was in college. This was years ago. And I was watching my other daughter. And my other daughter was playing soccer. And my older daughter decided that she was going to surprise us and drive back from the college to surprise us. And it was a rainy day. And I was just sitting there watching the game, and what I didn't know is my daughter was on 95 down, actually somewhere around here. She was coming around the corner and her car hydroplaned, and she started doing like a couple of 360s and slammed into the high speed guardrail. And what happened was she was okay, but everything in the car went flying. She couldn't find her phone, and she'd be praying, God, help me find my cell phone. And I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden I have this thing, I should call Rachel. I just feel like I should call Rachel. So I called her, and in the car underneath the seat, the phone starts ringing. And of course, when she answered it, she was crying and screaming. Before I knew it, my wife was next to me. Before I knew it, I stood up and I was just running full speed to the car because all I wanted to do was get to her. We need to have compassion for people who don't know Jesus in that way. We gotta stop worrying about everything else. Stop worrying about whether you have a house. Stop worrying about whether you have a car. And stop worrying about people who don't know Jesus. Stop letting your compassion draw you and stop, you know, just get up and start running. And this song talks about how Jesus, there's no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. I want to change the words. And I want us to sing it this way. There's no shadow I won't light up. There's no mountain I won't climb up coming after the one that God put in your head. There's no wall I won't kick down. There's no lie I won't tear down coming after you. See, let's personalize this. Let's do what Jesus did and let's sing it like that. You know, you don't deserve, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. Still, I give myself away. You understand now? I'm going to try singing it like that. I want you to think about those people who don't know the Lord, who God wants you to go to. And I want you to sing this as like a kind of a commitment to going to them. And I'm going to need some musical help. Thank you. So let's do the bridge, yeah?
There's no shadow I won't light up, mountain I won't climb up, coming after you. No wall I won't kick down, lie I won't tear down, coming after you.
All across this room, Jesus, we come to you this morning. Your word has impacted our life. Your word has impacted our life. Help us now to take this word and impact this world. For this one that's coming to our mind today, we speak their name. We speak their name and ask, Lord, give us a way. Give us an opportunity. And may we grasp hold of it to share the goodness of who you are, to lead them into the place of salvation. Jesus, we need you. This world needs you. Our family needs you. Our friends need you. Our co-workers need you. Let it be us. Let it be us that shares the gospel. Go with us today, I pray. Help us to be the light in the darkness. Help us to stand out and share your love. We thank you, Jesus, for today as we give it all over to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.